Yo, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Tag Team, the Pokemon Trading Card Games Premier Podcasting Trio. My name is Riley Holbert, joined as always by my good friends, Mr. JW Creewall, Mr. Andrew Mahone. Guys, how's it hanging today?
Going pretty well, Riley.
Dang it, dude. We gotta.
I got in there first. I know.
Who's coming in first? I gave you a BPW.
Whatever order I list you guys in.
Ah. See that?
So it could be a little. Could be a little game every week.
Yeah. I'm doing fine. You know, just got back from San Antonio with you.
Yeah.
Had a nice time. Tournament didn't go nice, but that's okay. I'm doing all right.
Coping.
I am coping.
Yeah.
Yep. And seething. Yes.
Oh, and seething.
It sounded like it was a pretty tough run. I mean, for both of you, honestly. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But it was fun to hear about your run, Riley, for the first 12 rounds. And then things went a little bit south. And Andrew didn't quite make it that far, but we'll discuss what happened. But in my news, we finished the attic almost.
Oh, nice.
So
nice. Cool. It's time for the new year, as promised.
It's incredible how quickly one can spend their tournament winnings.
That's right.
It's just unbelievable. On supplies, labor, it's crazy. So put in flooring today. Or they finished the flooring today, so we had just some laminate that they put up there. And going to be doing a little bit of trim work, and then that's it. We'll have an attic.
Very cool.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, looking forward to showing that off.
So, San Antonio, Riley and I ventured out. I went with the Full Grip Games crew. I'm very proud of how they did. And big shout out to everybody who stopped by the booth to pick something up. I really appreciate that. We had a terrific turnout. It was the largest regional of all time, 1,970 something players. So a very large event. I know the Full Grip group was a little bit nervous because we flew out there and didn't bring the trailer. So we had to pack all of our vending supplies and merchandise and cards into suitcases and haul them all the way to Texas, which is
how did you pack the displays?
So, well, displays are
banners
flat.
And like, well, yeah. The banners and the wall and stuff,
it all folds up. Yeah. Well, okay. So the wall, the actual, shelves,
yeah,
are these plastic shelves that you can get from Walmart, and they're like, you know, $75 a piece or something.
Yeah.
So you just have to eat three of those if you're flying.
Okay.
So it's like $200 that you're eating to like do a pop-up booth, right? And then they just stay there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not great, but we try to not fly to any events. For that reason, I mean, it's not ideal, but it was a great turnout. Full Grip did great, and it's always nice going with them because I get to room with Natalie and don't have to pay for a room since Natalie's working the events, and you know, and then having a crew to kind of fly out with is always nice. Feels like a team effort, so I enjoyed that. And Riley, nice. I got to meet you there. How did you enjoy San Antonio, Riley? What did you think about the city as a city to host a Pokemon tournament in? I think this is our first time in San Antonio.
San Antonio is pretty nice. I really enjoyed the Riverwalk area. That was a lot of fun, and it was very like well decorated for Christmas with all the lights and stuff. So it was really cool. My only complaint is one thing I liked about Dallas and Arlington is it's a major airport right there, so a lot of places go direct and it's a lot more convenient to get flights back home, whereas in San Antonio both like the flights there and back were just a little less convenient to account for like the extra stop you have to make. But in the grand scheme of things, like the convention center itself was really nice and really large, and there were plenty of bathrooms. I never had to wait in a line for a bathroom, which was awesome.
That is really actually like a pro tip for regionals, is that there's usually very few bathrooms, but there's usually a hidden bathroom.
Well, there's plenty of restrooms, honestly, because the convention center was so big. Like, you just walk down a little farther and there'd be another bathroom that nobody was in.
I don't know how I feel about the new meta where they just axe one of the women's bathrooms
and turn that strange. Into a men's.
I think that's not the message you want to, and that they announced it. I think that's like just really not the message you want to be sending at the regional championships. And I think that Pokemon should probably just put a stop to that, because it just is, it's bad. It's bad optics. It's bad to be a woman there. And then to be like, there's not enough of us. Huh?
You know, it gives boy club vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems, I don't know. That just seems normal. Like, it's a demographic. Like, you look at the demographics overall, and you're not going to use as many women's bathrooms. Like, the ratios are going to be better if you open up women. I wasn't even there, so I don't know exactly, you know, the context surrounding what you're talking about, but that doesn't seem weird at all to me.
I don't know, talking to some of the women at Full Grip, I feel like it's not great, but I guess, you know, these places don't seem to have enough bathrooms, I mean, just generally. So, you know, any sort of beefing over bathrooms is, I get it, you know. Natalie said she had to wait in her first ever line at a Pokemon tournament.
Wow. Yeah,
in the women's bathrooms. In the women's bathrooms this weekend. Yes. It just was weird that they, like, announced it and stuff, too. They're like, we're taking out one of the women's bathrooms. Not enough of them, you know.
That's crazy.
It's just strange. You know, it's just strange. It's like, you already know, you're trying to make it so that, because this is what's weird about it to me. It's like, you're trying to create an environment where you want more women to come, right? Then why are you doing this? Right? If I showed up somewhere and they were like, yup, there's not really a lot of men here, so we're going to take one of the men's bathrooms and turn them in, I'd be like, I really am in the wrong spot, aren't I? That would be the first thought that went through my mind. You know,
well,
I guess, to be fair,
yeah, I probably wouldn't announce that over the loudspeaker.
No, they wouldn't, because they have more tact.
Yeah, I mean, would you have still made the change and not told anyone?
I'd say it would be better to make the change and not tell anybody than to announce it.
Well, the great bathroom debacle of San Antonio.
It's a logistics thing, all right? I get it. It's tough, you know? I also hate being, you know, a dude with not enough dude bathrooms. So I get it, you know? But you do have to do the secret technique. You have to wander out and go find one a little off the beaten path. That's your best bet.
Right. Yeah, that's everybody the best bet to that. Not have urine on the toilet seat. But I digress. I think that's enough bathroom talk. What else about San Antonio? This was the first regionals in San Antonio, but you know, from all accounts, it's a lovely city. Things to do.
I mean,
they have sports a Riverwalk.
I stayed right in the realm of the convention center. The Riverwalk was a really fun and energetic place to stay. There was stuff happening at night, pretty much every night. You know, the Riverwalk is just this pedestrian only pathway that lines a river going through downtown San Antonio. There's a kind of central loop that maybe is about 1 to 2 miles, probably 2 miles, and 1.5 miles. And then it's got a bunch of like restaurants and bars and, you know, little convenience stores along it and things like that. And that's where all the like the nightlife happens. And it's really fun to like, you know, hotels kind of exist right on the Riverwalk. So you could just come down from your room and then you step out on the Riverwalk and there's nightlife happening, right? And it's cool because we got to eat on the Riverwalk. We got serenaded by a mariachi band. It was awesome, right? And there are drunk people on boats that are like, you know, going up and down the river all night, like hooting and woohooing and all that stuff. And it's just fun. There's Christmas lights all over the place. And it was a really cool spot to be. And then you're like very close to the Alamo, and you know you got to go remember that. So I went to the Alamo after my disappointing tournament performance.
Paid your respects.
And I got to remember it, and it was nice.
What do you remember?
Remember that it's old. It's old, and people fought to the death there, defending
they did.
The fort for the for America, for the United States. Yeah,
which is interesting because they took that land from Mexico.
Yeah, it's complicated. Okay, it's complicated.
Was it a good memory? It. Yeah,
it's complicated.
So true, Riley. But there was more than just sightseeing, obviously. Had a Pokemon tournament, and we got to talk about that, and we got to talk about the ramifications from the San Antonio Regionals. So it was quite a fine tournament in terms of the stream matches. Like, there were a lot of really strong stream matches day one, day two, and then, of course, the top eight was really exciting with a finals series that I put up there with some of the best series, you know, in terms of like, if I were to show somebody the game and like, hey, this game is really fun, here's an example, I might point them to the San Antonio finals, because you have these two decks pretty accessible for the most part, in terms of their complexity. There's not anything crazy going on, but still some very intricate plays that both players made throughout the course of the finals. Then obviously that epic conclusion in time with Azul emerging victorious for his sixth regional win, which is just really great. But before we talk a little bit about that, I want to hear from people that have boots on the ground, Riley and Andrew. How did the tournament runs go for you guys?
Well, first of all, what did we play, Riley?
Yeah, so the lead up to San Antonio was interesting. So on the cast last week, I talked about how I was into Rhydon, I was into Sable Zard sort of decks, and Mew as my top options. And Mew was something we were testing going into the event. And the sort of pervasive thought over both Andrew and I's mind was the Charizard matchup. And so that kind of repelled us from a Rhydon, and that also kind of repelled us from Mew. And eventually that led us towards Rapid Striker, Shifu, and Inteleon. And we've threw a couple games with it, and it was just really putting the work on Charizard. Andrew asks if any of the decks that we have on the table can beat Rapid Striker or Shifu. We throw a couple games with Mew, and Rapid Strike pulls him out, and we're like, okay, yeah, let's just play this deck. So we ended up playing Rapid Striker or Shifu for the tournament, and depending on who you ask, it was a good choice or a bad choice, but I think in aggregate, it was a solid call for the event. Quite a few Rapid Striker Shifus in the top 16, top 32. None made top 8 in the end, but many were close. Landon Kettler just outside the bubble there. And Skyla De La Cruz losing their winning end. So certainly was not impossible for Rapid Strike to make top 8. I myself was in the running up until the second to last round. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with the call. And to be honest, looking forward to Portland, spoiler alert, I'm thinking of maybe just running it back. I really enjoyed the deck a lot.
Let's freaking go, dude. I unfortunately had to cancel Portland. I've got something that has come up, so I'm not going to be attending, but we're going to be sending all of our positive energy Riley's way so that he can bring home that fat West Coast dub. Yeah, I played Rapid Strike on stream a little bit and the weeks leading up to San Antonio. My top two decks that I wanted to play were Mirrodin and Mew, but I had some problems with those decks. I could not stomach playing Mirrodin with how atrocious its Charizard matchup is, and I had some people on stream, you know, they'll ask me like, oh, well, you know, if Maraidon's Charizard matchup's so bad, then how come Maraidon decks still do well? Well, you know, you're talking about the person who did do well with it. You're not talking about the balloon of people, you know, below who maybe, you know, got chewed up and spit out. And, you know, you can run the gauntlet. You can throw a 40% matchup into a Charizard deck and come out with a couple of wins. Maybe one person or two people is going to do that enough times and dodge enough to, like, ascend to the top. But it's but knowing that Charizard is going to be the most popular deck of the tournament, which was my prediction, and came true, right? Then why in my right mind would I send Maraidon, right? Like, I just wouldn't, right? Because that doesn't make sense. So if I want to give myself the best odds of doing well, I have to play something else. So then Mew was my other choice that I really liked. But I was at this point, and I've had a little bit of a rocky start to the 2024 season. So at this point, like, I didn't want to. Yeah, I guess I was just having a little bit of cold feet with things. Like, I was worried about the fact that a Spiritomb deck had just won the Stuttgart Regional Championships. I was thinking that, you know, Spiritomb might be a popular choice. There's been a lot of Mews kind of just in the top ranks at these tournaments, and that Spiritomb would not be a card that was lost on players at this particular event. And I do not like the fusion build of Mew at all. I think that it's clunky and kind of a mess. So my top two decks felt like they just weren't the call for this event. So then I'm having to go, like, dig a little bit deeper. All right, what's my next backup? Gardevoir? I just swore off Gardevoir. Okay, so it's not Gardevoir because I swore off rare candy decks, you know. So I'm like, all right, what else do I got? Well, Rapid Strike seems pretty well poised. And the more I played it, I was like, this deck does have a good Charizard matchup. It can hang with Maraidon. Well, it has positive Maraidon matchup. And it, you know, could certainly hang with, like, Lost Box decks. Its worst matchups are just basically Snorlax Stall and Mew. I ended up having some bad beats. I played against, like, a Roaring Moon and just, you know, got absolutely blasted by it, playing the Urshifu deck. And, you know, went into lunch at 1-2-1 and did not have the will to continue after an hour and a half lunch break. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm not coming back from an hour and a half lunch break, okay? Ready to go at 1-2-1. So I was like, we'll just go next, you know?
For sure, for sure.
So that was my event.
Yeah, on the flip side, I really did enjoy playing Rapid Strike Urshifu, and I got exactly the matchup gauntlet you were looking for with the deck for the first 12 rounds, pretty much. The flip side, though, is I had actually never played the deck in any capacity, never played it once online, never played it to a tournament. So I was really going in blind. I didn't even play it the night before. Watched it.
You just watched it, yeah.
And round one, my opponent flips over a block Snorlax and got really in for an adventure today. I ended up 1-0-ing the guy. He was not, like, super experienced with the Block Lax deck or Pokemon in general. He said he was just, like, driving his brother and playing a deck that he thought would be easy to play. And that set me off on my journey, you know. Round two, tied Alex Szymanski in the Gardevoir matchup. And then every single deck I played the rest of day one was either a Charizard EX deck or a Comfy deck. And I beat all of them except for one. So that was sick. So going into day two at 7-1-1, I'm, like, really feeling it. Texas is, like, my place. I had won and made top eight at the two previous regionals I attended in Texas. So I was really, like, on my vibes. Day two, I hit a Giratina round one, smash it, hit a Charizard round two and smash it. I'm like, okay, this is it. This is the top eight run. It's happening. Beat a Gardevoir in round 12. And then I play Cal Connor in his, like, undefeated Snorlax deck and just get absolutely mollywopped. It was so bad. It was so bad that, like, game one, I'm going first and I get a pretty fine setup. And he just turn one slams Erica's Invitation and gets my freaking Alakazam into the action.
Oh my gosh.
That's like a scooper right there. You play one switch
I give it like
guard.
Three more turns, and I scoop that one, and pretty much the same thing happened game two. Just, like, screw this. It's, so I scooped both of those games pretty quick so I could just, like, get a mental break. It's like, whatever. That's a matchup we willingly took a loss to going into the tournament. Play Nick Robinson the next round. He's playing Turbo Maridon, which I think the Turbo build is actually kind of hard for Ursh. I actually didn't Rapid Strike. I didn't Gale Thrust either game. Game one, I had, like, the perfect setup, and I was so excited, and then I research and whiff the energy or an Octillery, so that was sad. And then game two, I prized break the VMAX, so that was also sad. And then I just get smashed by Andrew Hedrick in round 15. To be honest, by round 15, I was not playing that well anymore, but I don't think it made the difference. Like, I was, like, thinking, like, if I did every turn optimally, I still would have lost with the way the matchup was going versus Hedrick, because I had the Spirit Tomb, but he had the one fusion energy, and that was like just enough to churn, like to be able to do things like Psychic Leap and really put the hurt on the Ursh deck. So I lost my last three rounds, which ended up putting me in top 64, which is a huge bummer, starting at 10-1-1. But that's Poke. I think Rapid Strike has a decent amount of variance associated with it, both in terms of matchups and draws. And I feel like it just came for me in the latter half of the tournament, whereas I was kind of running pretty smooth in the front half of the tournament. That said, though, like Charizard, super dominant matchup. The comfy matchup felt super dominant. And if you're playing in a tournament where you expect to see a lot of those, super good. And the deck was so much fun. Oh my gosh, it's one of the most like fun decks I played in the last year or so. Just like the amount of plays you can make, the crazy stuff you can do with Yoga Loop and the sniping and the Alakazam movement, it was really like cognitive and thought-provoking. And I felt like as well the deck almost invited misplays. Like I feel like people get caught up in their own head playing against this deck. You know, they either limit themselves too much and like restrict their plays to try and avoid the snipe, and they misplay in that way, or they like bench the wrong thing at the wrong time. And the Ursh deck just capitalizes on that so well. And I think people don't test against it enough either. So they don't think about the fact you can do 80 damage in one turn if you on a single Pokemon to Yoga Loop it. You know, if you double snipe and Kazam move and then Yoga Loop. And people just like don't prepare for that kind of stuff. And it's super easy to kind of capitalize on people who aren't as proficient with the deck.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Talk about, yeah, players probably either don't play against it that much or don't play against high-quality opponents playing the deck, because it's usually a fairly low meta share, especially in day one, that you just don't expect to see one over the course of a tournament.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting talking with Azul and Co. And them, I was talking with them right before their top four match, Azul and Grant. And Azul was like, yeah, I don't know, I feel kind of bad, you know, that I have to keep Grant from his from his first regional win. But, you know, not today, buddy, you know, and then proceeded to beat him, which is pretty funny. But they said that Rapid Strike Urshifu won their spreadsheet by a lot, and that they were locked and ready to play it at midnight the night before the event, all of them. But that Azul and Grant, like, shot up out of bed and were like, no, we're going to play Charizard, and switched at the last second. And then they go on a crazy tear with it. And they said Charizard was doing terrible on the spreadsheet.
I don't know why they thought Charizard was doing terrible on the spreadsheet. What was their spreadsheet saying was the meta?
I don't know. But they just said they picked Charizard basically off of vibes, and then, you know, so what's the data matter anyway? You know, who cares?
Divine.
Play your favorite deck.
There's so much merit to that, though. There really is, and this format's like open enough that you can't necessarily predict how your day will go. Like, you're seeing Roaring Moons, and I was playing Charizards all day. You know.
Yeah, straight up.
So you can't say like really for certain, even with a perspective of the meta share, what your day will actually look like. And so it's very easy to kind of justify whatever deck you want to play.
Yeah, I know, and I feel like I've been trying to justify my decks by being like, I'm not going to play against any Mew VMAX, and then I still play them, so I just have...
There'll always be one, sometimes in round 15, and you're winning in for money.
Just now, got a little unlucky, I would say, in that case.
Interested to hear from you guys what, you know, what performance or what deck kind of stood out to you the most. Obviously, Charizard was a known quantity. I felt like Charizard was going to be the most popular deck coming into this event. You tell me Azul wins it with Charizard, I'm not surprised. you know, I'm super happy for him and proud of him. But, you know, yeah, that tracks. What sort of deck or finish surprised you, if any?
And for me, it's got to be the Hail Obernolt Stall Pidgeot deck. Was kind of the sleeper deck, in my opinion. You know, the stall decks and the Pidgeot make total sense in conjunction with each other, but nobody had really explored that, at least the extent that Hail had, to my knowledge, going into this tournament. And it was really cool. You know, it was really interesting watching him play on stream. I caught his top 8 match versus Joey. I don't know if he had played on stream prior. And just like the amount of flexibility that the Pidgeot allows you to have with the stall deck versus just the bog standard kind of whatever you draw strategy is really, really cool. And I feel like that's like such a Hail deck anyway to play the Pidgeot Snorlax deck. So I was really into that. Unfortunate about the rare candies though.
That's so true. What a
prize
crazy
three, huh?
Peony.
Or the Peony,
prize
Peony. Right? And then there was...
They prize three and then Peony had the opposite three cards.
Pretty crazy. But I think for me, it was the return of Giratina. I've always been, you know, a Giratina stan. Like, Giratina's a solid deck. I think it's a good deck. I've suggested players play it for a while. And I just don't think since Lost Origin released that it's done particularly well. But this felt like this tournament, especially with how prevalent Charizard was, this felt like the tournament for Lost Zone Giratina decks. And that's cool, because I think that this strategy, this little bit more methodical Lost Zone deck that's not just blow up and try to do something turn one or turn two, is really fun to play. I think it's a really cool deck, and I think it has a lot of merit in this format right now, being able to play those heavy concept path and really abuse it. So that to me is something that I walk away with from this tournament and saying, like, Giratina's back. That's the one deck in the format that's really trying to slow things down. I mean, you look at pretty much every other deck that's trying to get a turn two attack for major damage, or turn one attack in Maridon's case. And this is more of a deck that, frankly, would prefer to play from behind until it takes the final two prizes. So just an interesting interesting takeaway that this is the tournament that Giratina was really able to shine.
For me, I just got a couple of players that I'd like to shout out. I mean, first of all, Joey Nawal. In that huge top four, he is an Ohio native who I frequently see around at cups and league challenges and things like that, and has been a Pokemon TCG mainstay in Northeast Ohio for years and years. He's been playing since he was a junior, but I believe this is his biggest breakout performance as a master ever.
Yeah, so, by a lot.
Yes, by a lot. So I am very proud of Joey. Of course, his dad used to play and be a judge as well, but tragically passed away a few years ago. And for Joey to kind of stay strong through all of that and still stick with the hobby and produce a huge finish like this, it, you know, made me really happy to see. And I was
it's a good
really
storyline for for sure.
Yeah, really proud really of him to be able to do that. So I was rooting.
Like, seriously, one of the nicest yep. guys ever, too. Like,
yep.
Always so friendly.
I wanted Joey to win so bad. I was like, dude. Yeah, just a heart of gold, super friendly, super nice, super genuine. You know, he doesn't even have, like, you know, Twitter or anything, bro. Like, he's not going to post or gloat or anything like that. You know, I just couldn't think of a better guy for that to happen to. So I was very, very excited for him and his finish. And he's put in the work. I mean, he's been playing forever. So to have that breakout performance with the Palkia deck. I mean, Palkia V-Star. It's not even a deck that I consider.
Right.
Or have built in paper. Because I'm like, that deck's not real. But apparently it is. Like, what?
Was he the only one in all of day two? I'm like scrolling through right now. I think he might have been.
Right. Yeah, but crazy. I mean, just absolutely blew my mind.
Here's another one. here's a couple more.
Then the other player that I want to shout out, who all saw Harrison Levin? Is that the Harrison Levin? 21st place? It is. I mean, you click on it. You pull up his tournament history.
The world second place, Harrison? Yeah.
Second place at Worlds 2012. Holy smokes, Batman.
Yeah, no finishes on Limitless since 2015. Welcome back. Just
decided to show up in top 32 tournament with, like, not an easy deck to pilot if you're rusty. Rapid Strike Urshifu Inteleon. You know, for those of you that don't know, Harrison is like a world class player from back in the day. I mean, like when I first started playing, he got second place at the World Championships with Darkrai Mewtwo, and you know, and was a kind of a staple player in that era, but then like kind of quit before the birth of the modern era, really, when Limitless started tracking results, right? So Limitless really, yeah, is going to track from 2016 onward. So he doesn't have any finishes in the Limitless era, really. His Worlds is on there because Limitless has Worlds, but like other than that, you're going to find him on like PTCG Legends. That's where you're going to see Harrison. You know, and then for him to just show up to the San Antonio Regional Championships and just be like, "Ah, I'll top 32." You love to see it, honestly. He's still got it.
Still got it.
Amazing.
Very cool.
Amazing.
Very cool. You know what else is amazing, guys?
Manscaped?
Manscaped. Manscaped is the sponsor for today's cast. Get ready to deck your balls this holiday season with help from our friends over at Manscaped, featuring Santa's number one helper, the Lawnmower 5.0. Manscaped can guarantee you'll be stuffing more than just your stocking this season. Let your ornaments shine and enjoy 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code TAGTEAM at checkout. They're just fantastic products. I think we can all agree you should go on over to manscaped.com, use that code TAGTEAM at checkout, 20% off plus free shipping. It's pretty insane.
Pretty insane, man. You were really excited to read that copy.
I was going to say, I mean, you got that copy. You had AI generate that copy for you, bro.
I did. Yep.
That man is
and you're
that
mad
creative.
About it. And you're mad about it, aren't you?
That man is not that creative.
And you're mad about it, aren't you? No, but seriously, it's you know, still might be time. If you order immediately and have expedited shipping, you might be able to get that before Christmas. So head on over. Shipping. Yeah, or, I mean, yeah, there's probably no free expedited shipping, but
you know, you get some holiday cash.
It's true. You
spend it on. There you go.
Well, that's actually a really good point. So head on over to manscaped.com and use code TAGTEAM at checkout, 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you so much to Manscaped for sponsoring the cast. Well, fellas, not the greatest performance. Riley, you were on the cusp, and I think you mentioned in the Discord that you got a little bit of your fire back. You got a little bit of your fervor back, your desires to win. be a champion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it just sucks to be like 4 points off of, or 5 match points off, I guess, 2 wins away. I mean, it's so brutal. You have to go 5-1.
Like, yeah, man.
As a 7-1. You were one,
right. You were. Yeah, exactly. You were a top 10 seed heading into day two, right? 7-1-1.
16th seed.
Or okay, top 16 seed heading into day two, and then make it to. I mean, really, 3 rounds to go. As a top 8 seed, right? If they had cut it after 13 rounds, you would have been in the top 8. And then you lose out, and you lose out of your chance at making money. Like, you're just getting the pity packs.
Yeah, I mean,
for a top
wild,
64 finish.
Then, but even just, like, entering in at 7-1-1 and having to go 5-1 or 4-0-2 to even make cut. I mean, that's just wild, right? Like,
that's where we're at, though. I mean, that's the game right now. It's
brutal.
Crazy.
It feels
brutal.
Like top 8 is like too small of a cut almost. Like,
yeah, bring us back a
top 16.
Bring us back a top 32
and
top 32 bracket
off.
Style.
Yeah. That's what
I mean,
I'm
that's
talking
like not
about.
Unreasonable though, right? Like there
that's
are,
what I'm saying. It's not
there
unreasonable.
There are 212 people in this day 2. Like, we're almost on the point where people are not going to make top 256 in day 2. Imagine that day. Right, where you are not.
Yeah, 3,000 player tournaments. I know. It's ridiculous out there, and there's very little margin for error. And I think we're seeing that more and more as these tournaments balloon. Every single round matters. It is so important. Every game matters, like to a high extent. So it's like you really can't. And you guys kind of flew by the seat of your pants, and I it's just not something I feel comfortable with doing at a major tournament. But going in with like untested decks, you know, maybe taking a round. Well, sure, and you guys are good enough players to do it. But for the general population, it's not something that I recommend. Of like, go in and like take the first round to like figure it out. You don't have that luxury if you're trying to win the tournament. You don't have the luxury of like taking a couple rounds to.
You get extra turns to learn how to play against the
stall. You know, I was down to mix it up. I was down to really mix it up, you know, here. But yeah, I'll probably try to tighten up for the back half of the season and really buckle down and make sure that I'm like very confident in whatever deck that I'm bringing to, you know, to my upcoming events. But that being said, things can still just go wrong. You know, hit the matchups you weren't planning on hitting or whatever, and you know, or maybe your deck just bricks in a crucial game 3 somewhere. Yeah, it's tough. So
what I'll say, 2 comments. First, it's funny that around a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we were laughing about like the prospect of not making top 128 in day 2, and now we're like almost at the next level of that. Just a short a little bit later. And the second comment I'll make is the discourse again. I've seen it pop up about IDing in round 9, and I'll just continue to say, don't do it. It's not worth it. Like, the records you need to even make money are really extreme, and you would just rather go in with the more points. Like, you would not ID in round 10. You would not ID in round 8. Why round 9? You know, just...
Yeah, just mentally... That. Right, mentally be there where you're going into the tournament where it's like, okay, if I get into a win and in... Or, a ID and in situation, just play it out. Yeah, you got to just
and
play
see,
all your rounds day 1. It's I never going like to get easier.
The two, yeah, it totally. It, like, this... Round 9 is probably going to be your easiest round of the next 7, so just play it out. And the two arguments I see is like you can't like win the tournament if you're not in day 2 at all, which I think is just bunk because it's a 15-round tournament, not a 9-round tournament. So that's to me silly. And the second argument I see is, well, if you're playing to win, you should play out. But I'm not playing to win. I just want to like make money, so I'm going to ID. But you are unlikely, extremely unlikely to make money, actually, if you ID in round 9 and go in at 6-2-1. So just don't do it. Like, it's just not worth your time, legitimately.
Because top 32 gets money, and 200 players made day 2 in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So do the math.
It's a small fraction of people, and a majority of them probably went in at better than 621 who made money.
It's crazy out there, man. It's crazy
out
there.
It's, yeah, it is wild. It is wild. It's tough. It's a different beast right now. And you know, I feel like I'm kind of figuring out what it's like. I'm also just looking for, you know, looking for things that click. I don't know. Last year at this time, tournaments were still big. I just felt like the decks that I was playing were clicking for some reason. I just, everything made sense. I felt really aligned with whatever strategies I was going with. And right now I feel like kind of just lost. I don't prefer the Charizard deck. I don't prefer any of the top decks right now, even Mirrodin, you know. It just, I feel a little lost. So I'm hoping that maybe rotation kind of mixes things up for me and that, you know, maybe it gives a breath of new life into the format or mixes things up enough that I find like kind of a, you know, a corner where I feel comfy in and can maybe hang out for a little while like I did last year with Mew VMAX, just kind of sending it and feeling confident with it.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is just finding that comfort pick and just knowing it inside and out. I mean, that worked for Jesse and I just for those first few regionals of the season where it's like we knew everything about every matchup. We knew everything about when to play all the cards in our deck. I mean, it was just really the kind of thing where with Mirrodin, we were not going to make any missteps. And again, that circles back to just how important every single round is over the course of a Pokemon tournament. But I have full confidence you'll get there, Andrew. You're a good player.
Oh, we'll get there. You're going to be just fine. Over the course of a long career, things ebb and they flow. You know, sometimes you be a player who doesn't do anything for years on end, like you did, W, and then, you know, and then spike a win out of nowhere. So
I don't know if it's out of nowhere. All right. We can discuss. We can discuss. That was like I caught a stray for no real reason. I was trying to give my good friend some encouragement.
Dude, that was not a stray. That was a direct hit.
And I just
that was
got
a heat-seeking missile.
Take the shot.
Yes.
You're clear.
He's aggravated. He's aggravated. All right. He's feeling hostile.
Oh, no. There's no aggravation on my end.
No, me.
Oh, yeah. You are aggravated for sure.
Feeling feisty. Yep. Gotta get this guy a day two stat.
Yeah, right. Get some confidence back. Get your mojo back.
It's fine.
Man, you were it'll happen, I bet. Like, chill.
I know. I'm not pressed. I'm not. But
yeah, I bet you'll do it.
Yeah. Listen, bro. I got the world's out. I'm chilling, bro.
Yeah. You'll get there. Just keep at it, man.
I know.
Speaking of keeping at it, where do we go from here? So we saw Azul win in the finals. Great set. Really just, if you haven't watched it, I did a VOD review on my channel. Andrew, I'm sure you have watched it on yours. Or at least have watched the series at all. I would recommend it. It was really quite a fantastic series. So if you haven't had the chance to watch it, make sure to check that out. But Azul playing his Pidgeot Charizard deck, which was kind of the talk of the tournament in the sense that Charizard solidified itself as the premier choice for both highly experienced players like Azul, Grant, Caleb, as well as, you know, a newcomer, right? That's kind of the only way that you can get a deck in this format to have over 20% of the day one representation being Charizard. And it converted pretty well as well. But seeing that in the finals, a couple in top four, of course, Grant Manley making top four. And then another Grant that Azul took down in finals playing the Giratina deck. So what are some takeaways that you have from the top eight and just general meta trends that we were seeing and kind of where does this go from San Antonio? Like, what do you take away from San Antonio for the next big regional?
I mean, I think a clear takeaway in my mind is that Stahl is just a monster in this metagame and really is very limited in the number of decks that are actually checking it that are consistently at the top tables. You know, I, as someone who's sitting at the top tables, everybody was afraid of playing Cal. You know, you had one or two people who were okay with it, the Giratina players and the Turbo Maridon player, and everyone else was absolutely livid when they were matched up against Cal, myself included. And so to me, I feel like Snorlax Stall is a deck that I want to more seriously give time into and consider for future tournaments, because it just seems like you're picking up so many free wins without even really having to try that hard. So many decks just kind of fold to the pressure that it puts on without a lot of significant investment. So to me, that's one of the key takeaways. I think the other key takeaway is that Charizard is just the king of the Paradox Rift metagame. It's got kind of all the tools it needs, and it puts decks in a checkmate really fast if it's not responded to quickly, which is kind of the whole thesis of its Maridon matchup, is that it just immediately puts Maridon in a checkmate pretty much as soon as you evolve one of those silly little guys. So I think those are the decks that I would most seriously look at as kind of the winners coming out of this tournament. Rapidstrike is still something to consider just because it has a really good Charizard matchup. But Charizard can also try and respond to that, right? They could play two copies of Tooljammer and then you put them on two guys and you can't escape rope around it even. So it's not like they're completely playless against the deck either.
Yeah, I'm still feeling lost. I'm kind of thankful that I'm not going to Portland, because I'm I need a little time to kind of see where Portland goes, because right now I'm not feeling super compelled towards any specific type. I want to go with the comfort pick, but I'm not feeling confident with my comfort picks right now. I guess I could just kind of be bullheaded and send Maridon or Mew just into the fray and see how it goes. But I yearn for more. I don't know. Maybe I just I like formats when they're newer. I kind of prefer that. That gets me more excited. And I think when I'm more excited and when I'm more motivated, that's when I do my best. So, at this point, I'm kind of maybe I just feel a little jaded. And that's hard. It's hard. That's one of the struggles of being a long-time competitor in the game. It's hard to find that motivation to to get hype for another event or for another tournament when things are going tough. I had somebody come up to me, a longtime viewer of the channel, and ask how I deal with discouragement in the Pokemon TCG. And it was a very relevant time to ask, because I had just dropped from another regional. And I was it's tough. It is tough. And it was a really good question, actually, because he said he'd been playing for a long time and still hadn't, hit that day two yet that he had wanted to, but has been playing for a while and has been trying for a while. And I have my advice that I offer up, but sometimes I feel like I'm saying that, but also needing to listen to it myself as well. And that you have to enjoy the toil of it. You have to enjoy the toil of it. You have to enjoy the process. You have to enjoy the journey. It's not about where you get to or what your accomplishments are at the end of the day. It's got to be about the journey. It's got to be about the process. You have to like the process. If you don't like the process, you're gonna hate your life, right? It's gonna be miserable. You're gonna get that accomplishment and then cool. You're gonna be cool for maybe a few days, and then you're gonna be miserable again. So you got to enjoy the process, which means enjoying time with friends, enjoying wherever you are and wherever you're going to play Pokemon. And then the other thing is I try to tell him, you can't really compare yourself to other people. Treat it as a personal thing. Set benchmarks for yourself and just try to clear those, from a personal standpoint, and try to try not to just compare yourself to the people next to you or the people around you all the time, because that can be really tough as well when you're saying why isn't, if they got this, why can't I have that, right? Or why, I've put in more time than this person and they, So treating is kind of like a personal journey as well, and just saying, I'm going to set these benchmarks for myself and try to clear them, and when I do, I'm going to feel proud of that. you know, if that just means going positive during day one, you know, 5-4. And like, that's your first benchmark, like, and clearing that could be a big success for somebody. So, you know, trying to think of things that way as well. But at the end of the day, I told him, I was like, dude, I do get frustrated and I am disappointed all the time. It's just, it's just a freaking struggle, man. It just is a struggle. It's the pain of competition.
Well, and that's what makes the success all the sweeter.
It's true.
Right?
True. The struggle.
The struggle. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's some deep stuff there, Andrew. Got me a little...
Been getting deep.
Breathless. Man. Well, I... yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good way to put it. Like, you know, because I know, you know, a lot of people come to me and they're like, hey, same kind of question. It's just like, how do I get over this, or how do I get to that next level? And, you know, I think setting reasonable expectations always very important, because you don't want to compare yourself to anyone but yourself. And if you don't feel like you played your best, then that would probably be the first goal that I would set, is, you know, play the best that I could. And then if you are recognizing that you're making a lot of misplays, you're doing, making poor deck choices, I think that's a lot of thing a lot of people struggle with. And I feel like that, you know, might be here too, like, to bring it back to this current meta. It's just like, maybe that deck wasn't the right fit. And I think a trap that I often fall into is trying to play something that's not the most played deck. Just to be stubborn.
Most played deck, bro.
I know, right. I know, but isn't it, bro? Isn't it funny though? Because I think sometimes it just is the right call.
I know, man. I know.
And so I think, you know, that's something where it's like, sometimes I try to get a little too spicy, try to be a little too countery, and I should just go with the flow a little bit.
You are a spicy, countery guy.
Little boy.
Yeah.
But then there are players who never go with the flow.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Ross Coffin, one of my favorite players. He was at San Antonio, grinding it out, doing his thing, probably playing some deck that wasn't one of the top three, that's for sure.
What makes you say that?
He never is. Yeah. That's like saying Sander's going to be somewhere playing a control deck. Like, well, obviously.
yeah, that's true. But I think, you know, you look at Charizard being the most played deck, and, you know, it's been slowly creeping up to that, you know, really dominant archetype, but we're just seeing kind of obviously the fall of Bexcalibur, the fall of Gardevoir. These are some of the decks that kind of could keep Charizard in check. Now it seems like the only real negative matchup that Charizard has, at least in the way that it's currently built, is Stall. And so it's no real surprise that you're seeing...
And Rapid Strike.
Charizard do particularly well. Okay, and Rapid Strike, for sure. But those are both kind of these fringe counter decks that just, I mean, combined, maybe make up 10% of a field, and that seems a little generous. So, you know, you're generally taking even the favorable matchups into the field, and so it really makes sense that Charizard would be the highest played deck right now.
Dang, dude, Bexcalibur did fall off. It's just, I mean, Jared Grimes.
We've been making fun of that deck for weeks.
I know we have, and I will continue. It's just Jared Grimes, who is a Bexcalibur truther.
If you're going to play Rare diehard, Candy, bro. There are stronger decks.
He's a diehard in the top finishing Bexcalibur deck at 89th place. Holy smokes.
So what would you recommend for players to play heading out of San Antonio? I think this one might be like the either for yourself. I know, Riley, you were just saying, well, maybe I'll just run it right back, which is fair enough. I mean, I think Rapid Strike is in a great position. We talk about counter decks. You're really only looking at maybe a Mew deck or, you know, Stall as being kind of the matchups that you wouldn't want to play, right?
Yeah.
But outside of those, you know, Rapid Strike seems like a great option. Are there any other choices out there for decks that you look at and say, either for yourself that you should play heading forward, or for other players that they should consider?
I mean, I'll harken back to what I said earlier. I think for me, for Portland, I'm kind of waffling on Rapid Strike and Stall, to be honest. I think they just have really favorable positions in the metagame and take a lot of easy wins, and it's really easy for opponents to make mistakes against those decks because they don't practice against them enough. So you get to really even in day two, like, you get to capitalize hard on people's mistakes.
I think that that's very reasonable. Install, like, when will people respect it? Like, looking at Azul's list, like, dude, that list is greedy. There is not even a single switch card in there. I mean, I guess the argument is that a single switch card doesn't win you match up anyway, so you might as well say none.
No, it does not.
So you just sort of like, whatever.
And you don't play the Radiant Charizard, so what do you switch it? Just retreat.
Exactly. Yeah, and you cut the Radiant Charizard, right? So, yup. Don't need it.
Yeah, that's great. You really don't. Because any time you want to attack with the Charizard, you might as well just attack with the other Charizard.
And Pidgeot's got free retreat. And everybody else got one retreat. So who cares?
Yep. Yeah.
And then 7 fire energy. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, he was taking that L to stall, but the stalls got eaten alive in top 8 because they both hit like their worst matchups.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Joey just saving Azul's run.
Yes, absolutely. True.
Just Joey literally single-handedly saving Azul's run.
Well,
falling on
the
sword with his Palkia deck.
Well, Grant probably would have beaten Stahl as well, to be fair, right? And
yeah.
Joey lost to Grant, not Azul. But
yeah.
The point still stands that the Stahls were slain in top 8 before they could eat Grant and Azul alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's pretty. It did feel like Stahl's
turn. Portland, man. You haven't given your thoughts.
Well, I would have said for San Antonio that I would play Charizard. And y'all didn't want to listen.
Okay, but if I played Charizard, I would have hit 4 mirrors on day 1. So.
And you probably would have won them all.
All of them? I don't know.
Yeah, give yourself some credit, bro.
I don't think I would have won them all as easily as I did with Kevin.
Yeah, probably not. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be Charizard for me. You know, any locals, I'm trying to play a local or two over the Christmas holiday. And so, you know, I think I'd probably just rock Charizard. That just seems like the deck that, the deck to beat right now. It's best deck in format, in my opinion, just again, because of the context of the format. Yeah. Nogardy, Stahl's not really something I worry about too much. Rapid Strike's not something I worry about too much. No Baxcalibur, which was previously like your pretty bad matchup out of the highly played decks. So it's just hard to like not recommend it. I mean, you could say Giratina, that just seems like a deck that's pretty matchup agnostic. So if you're going into a blind metagame and you're like, well, I just want to be, you know, that deck that doesn't really care about what it sits down across from, and that you have the most plays in the most amount of games, then I'd probably recommend a Giratina. Put yourself in position to win any matchup that you come across. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. I mean, I could see Jim ride on again, obviously, but it's really hard to justify much else right now.
I couldn't really see Jim ride on. Takes too bad of a Charizard matchup.
That matchup's horrendous. Yeah.
It's nasty.
Time to let her go.
You might not have many more opportunities, though, before rotation, so.
That's okay.
Gotta ride on.
Got my
ride on into the sunset.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, in any case, I think it'll be really fun. When is Portland free? When do you head out, Riley?
I head out the Friday before, so 2 weeks.
Very cool. Days. Well, best of luck. You're going to be the sole representative from Tag Team. Now, I'm still trying to get into Knoxville. There's one more registration period. They're opening another wave of 200 spots for Masters tomorrow.
Right? Yeah.
At
Ooh.
7 p.m. So
I'm
going to try. Yeah, Riley, you also are going to be potentially fighting for a spot. So hopefully we can also make Knoxville.
That would be fun. Have the whole squad there.
I know. Because that's going to be maybe outside of NAIC, and I'm not even sure that that's a lock with the new baby. That'll probably be like the last tournament. that that I'll be going to, at least the last regional this year that I'll be attending. So hoping that I can make it in. Maybe Orlando. Who knows? Again, we'll see. We'll see. Could happen. Who knows? But Knoxville for sure. If I can get in, it's going to be the smallest regional. It's going to be the smallest North American regional.
I know. Like, what,
they're really going to keep me out of it.
Capped at like 1,200?
Well, it did. Yeah, that was the initial wave, and now it's going to be 1,400 with wave two, so.
Oh, yeah, you got
smallest regional is 1,400. That's so messed up.
Isn't it? Imagine us saying that, like, not ironically in 2018.
I think it speaks to how good the game is. I really do. Yeah. I think, you know, it's just a very popular game, great community, good mechanics right now. I think we're seeing, you know, a lot of different varieties of decks can win, turbo, you know, kind of these slower, more methodical archetypes.
Yeah, I don't
archetypes.
Know, playing a VMAX deck kind of made me nostalgic. I think we need to print more of those guys.
Bro. Yeah. No, I'm good, dude.
Can we run it back on VMAXs?
Your opponent just knocking out two of them things and winning the game feels so bad.
I think we need to reprint a couple of those VMAXs pronto. I'm thinking Eternatus needs a reprint.
Well, why even wait to evolve, dude? Just give me a three prize basic.
So true.
Yes. And give it a V-star power, too.
Yeah.
Tag maxes. You're so right.
What if...
The Terra what if... Maxes, bro. Yeah, call them Terra Maxes.
One can only dream.
So that's kind of on my wish list for 2024. Hoping it comes to fruition.
Only time will tell. So that is going to be the cast for us tonight, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get more plugged in to what we do here, you can follow us on X. I am at Real John Walter. We have at Smiles with Riles for Riley and at Enjoy Friend for Andrew. Of course, the Tag Team Podcast is at Tag Team Podcast on Twitter. Find us there, please. And thank you. Any last words, fellas, before we wrap up?
Merry Christmas.
That's a good last word. Yeah, have a Happy New Year. I don't think we're meeting next week because that'll be, you know, we'll all be at our respective houses. So this is going to be the last cast until the new year. We thank you guys all so much for listening. We'll see you in 2024.